the cold all the time. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that your eyes and your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance to his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above the rule and authority, power and dominion in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I want to tell you the two biggest lies a person can tell to themselves is that they do not need Jesus to get to heaven. They do not need Jesus to get to heaven, or that there's something they can do to obtain salvation. I want to tell you today there's nothing you can do to obtain salvation. There is no work, there is no good deed you can do. You can spend your whole life doing all good things, but without Jesus, there is no salvation. God has given so much grace to us, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about his amazing grace that he has given us. The grace that we didn't deserve. Grace can be defined as simply this: unmerited favor. Unmerited favor that God has given us. But it was bought. It was bought with a price. It was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. A sacrifice that we didn't deserve. Some people might ask, why do I need this amazing grace? Why on earth would I need this grace for heaven or for my life or for whatever else? Why? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We need this grace because we, as believers, were once dead in our transgressions. We were once dead in our sins. And if you do not have Jesus tonight, you are dead in your sins. You are dead by your transgressions, and we need God to redeem us. We need God's grace. We need his peace and his love. We need God to redeem us. And he did that very thing on the cross. For not me, not just you, but for the whole world, he died upon the cross. He sacrificed his son. I really want you guys to get this tonight. He sacrificed his son so that you might have life in him. Verse 4 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. I could read that verse over and over again. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. We don't deserve to be seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. But because of God's grace, we're able to. So many bad things we do in this life, and we keep doing them over and over and over again. But somehow, by God's grace, you've still been saved. Even as a believer today, if you mess up, by God's grace, you can be forgiven. He has made us alive with His grace. That because we were once dead, we needed to be alive with Christ. It is God's grace that saves us. In verse 7, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There is nothing you can do to achieve this grace. It is a gift given to each and every one of us. So many people in their lives try to do the best, the greatest things so that they might have heaven. It's not about that. It's about what Christ has done for us. Imagine it. Imagine a man who died on the cross, a perfect man in all aspects, died on the cross so that you might have life. See, God demonstrates His love for us that yet when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We don't deserve His grace. Romans 3, 23 and 24 say this. A lot of us probably have heard Romans 3, 23 a lot, but sometimes I think we forget the verse 24. Romans 3, 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." I'm sure we've heard that over and over again because it's so true. We fall short every single day. But see, verse 24 says this, "And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." You have been redeemed by Christ Jesus. But you didn't deserve it. No, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, you actually deserved the opposite. You deserve the wrath of God. You deserve death. But He loves us. He is rich in love and great mercy today. See, first, such a wonderful, wonderful, undeserved grace was bought at such a great sacrifice. But our Lord ought to compel you to surrender everything to Him. This grace that He has given us should cause us to surrender our whole being to Him. See, grace is something I like to say is an incommunicable aspect of God. Something we can't quite understand. Why would God do this for us? Why would God die on the cross for us when we didn't deserve it? Simply this, God loved you. There are so many people thinking that they're undeserving of love, that nobody loves them, when in fact there's a man who died on the cross for them, waiting and longing for someone to show them this hope. See, this hope that it is described in the Bible, that Jesus is our hope, is not a wishful hope. It's not like, I wish the weather would get better. It's a hope of assurance. It's guaranteed. It's been paid for you. That it's a gift for each and every one of you to just take hold of. This grace is standing right out in front of you. Second, when we ponder the incredible grace of God, it ought to motivate us. It ought to motivate us to work and labor for God's will. See, God's grace gives us so much. It's the thing that saves us, and it's the thing that sustains us. Sometimes we just focus on His saving grace because it's awesome, it's beautiful. He is an amazing God. We sing about it in our songs. There's so many songs about grace. But it's also the grace that sustains us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. See, Paul was struggling here. A lot of you probably heard that he's struggling with what he calls a thorn in his flesh. He's struggling over. He prays to God over and over again. But chapter 12, verse 8 says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" See, God's grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. Through the hard times in life, God's grace will get you through it. God's grace is the thing that we should trust and rely on in our lives. See, it's by God's grace you've been made strong. It's by God's grace you have been saved. It's by God's grace you've been made strong. That even when we are weak, God shows His power in our weakness. Sometimes we think we can do it all on our own. We go through life saying we never need help, we never need this, we never need that, that we can just do it all on our own. But see, Christ is saying, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." We can make this list of good things that we can do in order to achieve salvation. People do it every day. I could go down to our ministries and work over and over and over again, but without Jesus, they mean nothing. They get me nowhere. But see, it's only by God's grace that doing good works means something. You need Jesus. You need His amazing grace. Surrendering can be one of the hardest things. Surrendering every aspect of your life. Sometimes surrendering our time is the hardest thing for us. Sometimes surrendering that one sin that messes us up every time. It's only by God's grace that you can do it. It's only by God that you can prevail through that sin. God wants people who are ready to surrender their whole heart to Him. See, it is not by works. It is not by works that you achieve salvation. See, the book before Ephesians, Galatians, these Galatians over and over again are struggling with the same thing. Are we supposed to be circumcised? Or are we not supposed to be circumcised? They had some people whispering in their ear that they should be, some people telling them that they shouldn't be. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can add to the name of Jesus Christ, because all power and authority has been given to Him. If you need something done in your life, if you're struggling with something in your life, there's one person who can help you through it. There's one person that won't let you down, that has been the same in this book, that He has never changed yesterday. He is still the same today, and He's still going to be the same tomorrow. He's the only person I know that has complete integrity in their lives. See, like I said, God's grace is that incommunicable aspect of God. We didn't deserve it. You know, God wants us to be holy people before Him. That seems like an almost impossible thing to obtain. But only by God's grace can you obtain it. See, we know we're not perfect people because of Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us are going to mess up in our lives. But we have been justified. You understand that today? That you've been justified through Christ? You've been justified for what He's done on the cross for you. That once you were a slave to sin, but you've been made alive with Christ. What are you doing with your life today? Are you feeling alive with Christ? Do you feel like Christ has clothed you? Has made you whole? Do you feel like a whole person, or do you feel like there's something missing in your life? Do you feel like there's something holding you back from fully surrendering your life? This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. The gift of God we did not deserve, not by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. Meaning God has put each and every one of us together. It is He who created you. It is He who is God in your life. He has created us in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, there are some good works that God wants you to do today. But it is only by grace that you can do those good works. It is only by God's grace that you even have the right to do those good works. See, Hebrews talks about what the church is all about, what the church should be doing. He says in chapter 4, it says that we should be stirring one another up unto love and good deeds. Are we doing that today, church? Are we stirring one another up? Are we encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ unto love and good works? So you can only do those things with God's grace. See, I could be up here and I could just talk about God's grace this whole time. Because He did something for me on that cross. I would not be standing here before you today if it were not by God's grace. You wouldn't be sitting in these pews today if it weren't because of God's grace. I spent my whole life wandering around, longing for love, longing for God's love in my life. I've done so many bad things with just a short amount of time that I've lived on this earth. I've had others do bad things. See, I have done drugs in my life. I have stolen in my life things that I'm not proud of. But it's by God's grace that I'm here now. It took somebody who understood God's grace to bring me to the understanding of God's grace. And all that they told me was Christ died for me. Hopefully today somebody, or you read it in God's holy word that Christ died for you. That yet when you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Life can be one of the hardest things. We can make life the roughest thing in our lives. So many people live in this jail cell and they call it home. They call this jail cell home. But they're longing to get out. So many people are longing to get out of that jail cell, but they do not know God's grace. They do not know what it means to be made alive in Christ. A person who is made alive in Christ walks it. They talk it. They're not just hearers of the word, but they're doers of the word. A person with a surrendered heart is the enemy of the devil. A person willing to go, willing to show people God's grace, has a target on his back or her back because they're willing and ready. But it's only by God's grace can they do those things. So many of us will go along gratifying our fleshly desires, gratifying our sinful nature. See, if you do not know, our flesh is in contrary to the Spirit. If you want to live by the Spirit, if you want to live by God's grace, if you want to be made alive in Christ, you must sacrifice your flesh. You must get rid of your sinful nature. And you can only do that by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who can make your heart whole again. He's the only one that can put brokenness back together. Is there some area of your life you need to surrender today? You might have Christ. You might have Christ in your heart, but you know that there's something missing. There's something I'm holding back. What are you holding back from God today? Some it might be work. Some it might be time. Some it might be money. God is asking you to give it to me, to lay it at my feet. Lay it at my son's feet who died for you. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. I could read those passages over and over and over again because it reminded me of my old self. But you know what it reminds me also of? Of my new self. That God has taken my old self, the old creation, and he has cast it away. As far as the east is from the west, he has cast it. And he has made me a new creation. Are you living like a new creation, church? Are you living like a person who is alive with Christ? As we go ahead and stand, we have revival this Sunday night. This coming Sunday night, Huntington needs revived. This world needs revived. God's people need revived. So, what's that area in your life you need to surrender?